Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Face Your Problems as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 7. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
They came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came even to Tahpanhes. This, of course, to me is one of those sad and tragic scriptures. It ranks really as one of the most tragic of all of the passages in the Word of God. For it is always tragic when a man returns to that from which God has once delivered him. He goes back to Egypt. Egypt is a type of our life in sin, a life after the flesh and the bondage to our flesh. And whenever a man or a nation returns to that place from which God had once delivered them, that is always a sad and a tragic day. 900 years earlier, God had delivered their fathers out of the horrible, cruel oppression of their Egyptian slavery and bondage. And now, the sad day that they returned. The reason for their return? Fear. A lack of faith and trusting in God to sustain them in the land. And the fear of the retaliation of the Babylonians against them drove them back to Egypt. The lack of faith, which resulted in their disobedience. And so they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came to Tahpanhes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, take great stones in your hand and hide them in the clay that is in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of the Pharaoh's house there in Tahpanhes, in the sight of all of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he comes, he will smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, and such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garments, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. So God said, take these great stones and put them in this clay pit where they had taken out the clay to make the bricks, in the sight of all of the people, and say unto them, over the top of these stones, Nebuchadnezzar is going to build the pavilion of his court, and he's going to set right here, ruling over Egypt, destroying Egypt and their gods. You've come down here to escape Nebuchadnezzar, you're not going to escape him. You try to run from your problems, you can't run from your problems. God always wants us to face our problems with his strength and with his help, never to run. A person never successfully runs away from a problem. We need to deal with the issues squarely with the help of the Lord. God will give us the strength. God will give us the help. Flinders Petrie, famous archaeologist, several years ago now, I think it was in the 20s, was excavating in Egypt, Tel Defna. And as he was excavating there in Tel Defna, he came across this big pavement, pavilion, paved pavilion, which was next to the ruins of the palace. And he dug under the bricks of this pavilion and found these very stones that Jeremiah had buried. These stones are now in a museum. The last I heard, in Cairo. The very stones that Jeremiah buried were found by Petrie as a witness to the truth of God's word, because Nebuchadnezzar did come down. He did conquer Egypt. He set his throne right there above the stones that Jeremiah buried. God's word came to pass. God's word will always come to pass. You can trust that God will keep his word, always. Chapter 44, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt. And this is Jeremiah's final message to the people, God's last word to the nation that had turned their backs on him and had gone to Egypt, back to the place from which God had delivered them. And God gives to them his final word. The word which came to Jeremiah, to the Jews which were in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and Tapanes and Noph, in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all of the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are desolate, and no man is dwelling there. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. You see what's happened. You see the desolation of the land. And it all took place because the people forsook me, God said, and they began to worship these other gods. Howbeit, I sent warnings to you through my servants, the prophets, who rose early. And they said, don't do this abominable thing that God hates. But they did not hearken. They did not incline their ear to turn from their wickedness. And they continued to burn their incense to these other gods. Wherefore, my fury and my anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as they are this very day. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against your souls to cut off from you man and woman, child and nursing child out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you are continuing to provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, because you are still burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt, where you have gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all of the nations of the earth. Why are you doing this? God said. It was because of the burning of the incense and the worshiping of these other gods that you were driven from the land, that your land is desolate today. But you've continued these very practices now that you've come into Egypt. The very thing that brought the judgment of God upon you, you've not ceased doing. Even though you are here in Egypt suffering the judgment of God as your land is desolate, yet you continue in these abominations. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah? And the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Now, it is interesting at this point where Jeremiah joins the wives in his indictment. For they were guilty of these same abominations. And in fact, as we read on the account, it would seem that the women were perhaps rather forward and leading in these abominations. Corrupted womanhood is usually the final straw that breaks the back of a nation. Women have a capacity, because of that fine, delicate temperament, of greater heights of spiritual experience and of deeper depths of moral depravity than man. When a woman goes bad, it's usually horrible, like the little girl with the curl. When she's bad, she's horrid. Men are coarser in their nature, and man's spectrum is rather narrow in a coarse median. Whereas a woman capable, by her fine, beautiful temperament, of higher highs, she's also capable of lower lows. The spectrum of the woman moves in a much broader spectrum than does man. So that when the woman falls, she so often goes to the bottom. And when that takes place, it's all over. It is interesting that women so often in the churches take leading roles of spirituality in the prayer groups, in service groups and all. And that's because of this beautiful, fine temperament that when tuned to the Spirit is so beautiful and so glorious, so inspiring, so beautiful to behold. A woman walking with the Lord in that beautiful, fine, keen temperament that is so sensitive and attuned to the things of God and the things of the Spirit. So often, because I am in this coarser, denser nature, I'll be in a situation and, you know, just sort of plodding through. And we'll get home and my wife said, "Did you notice what was happening there tonight?" "What?" "I didn't notice anything." "Oh, well, when this happened, you know," and she can pick up on the fine spiritual tuning, great spiritual insights. "Oh, well, this took place." And as I look back, I say, "Well, yeah, I can remember, but, you know, it didn't mean anything, didn't say anything to me." But with this keen spiritual sensitivity, she has a capacity of picking up on spiritual attunement much better than I do. Because I'm just this rugged push through, you know, and plod along. But women attuned to the Spirit, what high capacities they have. What keen spiritual insights. And how beautiful it is to see a woman walking in the Spirit because of the highs that she is capable of and that spiritual sensitivity. It's fantastic. But on the other end of the spectrum, it's tragic. Now, Jeremiah is speaking how that the wives had joined in. And he joins them in this indictment, the wickedness of their wives and of your wives. And they are not humbled, he's talking about their wives, verse 10, even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and I'm going to cut off all of Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go to the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall all be consumed and will fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and they shall die from the least even to the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment, a curse and a reproach, for I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. so that none of the remnant of Judah which have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah to which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Only a very small group that escapes. Then all of the men which knew that their wives were burning incense to the other gods, and all of the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that were dwelling in the land of Egypt, they answered Jeremiah, saying, "As for the word which you have spoken to us in the name of Jehovah, we are not going to listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever thing that goes forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, to Semiramis, and who was known as Queen of Heaven, Mother of God, and to pour out the drink offerings unto her." This is that Babylonian religious system that Israel was caught up in. The worship of Tammuz and Semiramis, these Babylonian deities, the mother-child concept, worshiping Semiramis as the mother of heaven, and the queen of heaven, the mother of God. And this is, incidentally, where the worship of Mary stems from. Nowhere in the scripture are we told to worship Mary, but it stems from this worship of Semiramis, the queen of heaven. And you can trace it back. I don't have to do your homework for you. You can get the book, The Two Babylons, by Hyslop, and he traces so thoroughly the pagan Babylonian practices that have been brought into the church, the very things that God indicted Israel for, are now going on in many churches in the name of the Lord. And we'll wait till we get to Revelation to deal with that more fully. Now, listen to what they're saying. "We will certainly do what we please, to burn the incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out the drink offerings to her as we have done. We and our fathers and our kings, our princes in the cities of Judah, the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and we were well and we did not see evil. But when we quit burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out the drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and we have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. When we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?" In other words, didn't our husbands know what we were doing? Didn't we have the consent of our husbands as we were doing it? They knew what we were doing. The women are answering Jeremiah now. And it is interesting how that they so totally twisted the facts. They were attributing the demise and the destruction to their ceasing to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. How man can so totally twist the truth and blame God for the tragedies that come upon his life and accuse God for the things that have gone wrong and say, "Man, you know, things went well. I was doing great until I started serving God. Then he wiped me out." And here they were blaming their destruction upon the fact that they had quit burning the incense to the Queen of Heaven. As long as we were, you know, faithful to her, she was blessing us. We had plenty of food. Things were great until we ceased burning incense to her. And now all of this calamity has come upon us. And after all, our husbands knew what we were doing. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people and to the men and to the women that had given him this answer, "The incense that you have burned in the cities of Judah, in your streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, your princes, the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Did it not come into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation." Jeremiah sets the record straight. Look, it's because you were burning this that God has brought his judgment upon you. "Therefore is your land a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without inhabitant as it is this day, because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore is this evil happened to you as it is this day. Keep the record straight. It's your forsaking God and your turning after these other gods that caused this judgment of God to fall. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah and all that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out the drink offerings unto her. And you will surely accomplish your vows, and surely you'll perform these vows. You've made your vows to the Queen of Heaven, and you'll be sure to keep them. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name. Oh, look out. When God swears by his name, because he can swear by no higher.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 43 through 44 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and guide your life this week. When those decisions have to be made, may the Lord give you a very strong impression to lead you into His path of righteousness. And may you experience God's power working in your life in a very special way. May you be His witnesses, a testimony to others by the love of Christ that shines forth from you.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.